I'd like you to turn your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms, chapter 146. 146 Psalm. I haven't preached on Sunday night in 3 weeks, so I've had to. So I guess I'll give you three sermons tonight, okay? A friend of mine told me last night, he said, "Don't preach too long tomorrow." And I said, "How long do you think's too long?" He said, "Oh, about 4 hours." But Psalms 146 tonight. Here the psalmist says, "Praise ye the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. While I live, will I praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Put not your trust in princes, nor in the sons of man, in whom there is no help. His breath goeth forth, he returneth to his earth, in that very day his thoughts perish. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God, which made heaven and earth, the sea and all that therein is, which keepeth truth forever, which executeth judgment for the oppressed, which giveth food to the hungry. The Lord looseth the prisoners. The Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The Lord preserveth the strangers. He relieveth the fatherless and widow. But the ways of the wicked he turneth upside down. The Lord shall reign forever, even thy God, O Zion, unto all generations. Praise ye the Lord." Heavenly Father, thank you tonight that we have this opportunity to come and worship you in spirit and in truth. And Heavenly Father, tonight as we come, we pray that as we look into this, thy word, that you tonight will lead us and guide us and direct us in the way that you would have us to go. Make this tonight meaningful to us tonight and lead us to a closer relationship with you. Father, let us tonight proclaim thy truth. Let us tonight lead thy people in from out of darkness into light. Let us tonight do that which you would have us to do. And then for all that is done, we pray that tonight the glory and the honor and the praise will be given to our Savior, your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray, amen and amen. I think tonight the theme of this psalm would probably be praise the Lord. It begins with those words, and it ends with those words, and in between, it's had it many other times tonight. Verse 2 gives us something tonight that I want you to think about, and I guess if I had a title for the message, it would be, "While I Live, I Will Praise the Lord." Now, what does it mean tonight when we talk about praising the Lord? We use that phrase quite often, but sometimes I think it's been used so much that it's lost much of its meaning and its reverence this evening. I hear people tonight on television many times who are receiving some kind of award who have been not doing what the Lord wants them to do, have tonight been participating in acts of things that God certainly does not approve of, but begin to talk about thanking the Lord. I don't think a lot of people have a lot of reverence tonight for praising and thanksgiving unto God this evening. Several years ago, we had a couple named Jim and Tammy Faye Baker who had a thing called the PTL Club, which simply meant praise the Lord. They turned it into a lucrative business enterprise and eventually, of course, were brought to charges of criminal activity. And Jim Baker served some years in prison for his role in the PTL scandal of several years ago. They condemned a lot of people tonight and shed a lot of tears in the name of the Lord Jesus. But it doesn't seem like it was real tonight when you begin to look at it. So what does it mean when the psalmist tells us to praise the Lord? What does it mean when you and I begin to talk about we should praise the Lord? Well, when we praise the Lord tonight, we, I think, should speak and sing of His perfections. We honor or commend Him this evening. You want to look for some simple synonyms tonight that are in our English language. You might use the word acclaim or adore, applaud, exalt, glorify, honor, and magnify. All of those things tonight are lifting God up tonight and praising the Lord. The psalmist in Psalm 66 says these words in the first three verses. Make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands. Sing forth the honor of His name, make His praise glorious. But now when you get to verse number 3, here I believe the psalmist tells us the exact reason that we praise the Lord and how that we praise the Lord. He says, say unto God, how terrible art thou in thy works. Through the greatness of thy power shall thine enemies submit themselves unto thee. Now when you read that, it sometimes doesn't seem that it makes a lot of sense to us at times. But to paraphrase it tonight, what the psalmist is telling us tonight is that we are to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. We're to sing forth the honor of His name. We're to make His praise glorious tonight because He said, how awesome are the very works of God. How awesome tonight are the works of God. And because of the great power of God, even God's enemies have to cringe before Him. Even Satan tonight has to bow before Him. You see, tonight, we need to understand tonight that when we're praising the Lord tonight, we're praising Him because of His awesome power this evening, because tonight that God is simply God. We think a lot tonight about some things that take place and in the book of Acts, chapter 3 and verse number 8, you find that there in that beginning of that chapter, Peter and John are on the way into the temple after the resurrection, after the preaching on the day of Pentecost. And as they're headed to the temple at the day of prayer, there's a beggar who's lying there. And he's asking for alms. They brought him every day, and he begged there for money to make his living. And as Peter and John, of course, started into the temple, the Bible tells us that this man asked them for money. And Peter looked at him and said, silver and gold have I none. But what I have to give, I'll give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And he took him by the hand and pulled him up. And verse 8 said, this man went into the temple with them, walking and singing and praising the Lord. Walking and leaping and praising the Lord. Why was this man praising the Lord? Well, I imagine if you'd laid at that temple gate for all of those years and had to beg for your living, you'd never been able to walk a step in your entire life, and somebody come along and in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth had you rise up and walk, you'd want to praise the Lord too, wouldn't you? I would imagine tonight that you'd be leaping and walking and praising God tonight and giving testimony to what had happened to you in your life. That's what the psalmist is teaching us here, and that's what he teaches us in Psalms chapter 146. I doubt if there was a day in that man's life, from that day forward, he didn't tonight have a testimony for the Lord. I can imagine in my sanctified imagination that as this man would go about his daily life and somebody would see him in the grocery store and say, wait a minute, aren't you the guy who used to beg outside the temple gate? What happened? Was you a scam artist? Was you just doing that to cheat people out of their money? And he said, oh no, let me tell you what happened. One day there's two Baptist preachers come by. I know there's Baptists because they didn't have any silver or gold, amen. And said, in the name of Jesus Christ, they were able to give me back the use of my limbs, and I'm now walking and praising the Lord. I'm a living testimony to what God can do. I would imagine everywhere this man went, he had a testimony for the Lord. I don't know if he was married, if he had grandchildren, but I can imagine that if he did, he'd tell those grandchildren, let me tell you what happened to me one day. Let me tell you what happened to me outside the gate, outside the temple. There, the Lord restored my bones and my legs, and I was able to walk. And I became a living, walking testimony for the Lord. That's a great testimony, isn't it, tonight?
Right.
When I think about this, I was dead, but now I'm alive.
Amen.
I was lost, but now I'm found.
Right.
I was blind, but now I see. This man was giving glory and testifying to what the Lord had done for him physically. Nothing wrong with that. We should do that.
Right.
But I want to tell you tonight, when he brought me, translated me out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. When he tonight quickened me and gave me life. When tonight he brought me out of bondage into freedom. I probably ought to have something to praise him about too, shouldn't I?
Right.
Praising the Lord. That's what this man was doing. He was praising the Lord for what God had done for him. And tonight, that's what you and I should do. Now, there's a lot of things we could talk about tonight, but we ought to glorify and praise the Lord tonight because of the awesomeness of His power that the psalmist talks about here. And he said that while I live, I will praise the Lord. I will sing praises unto my God while I have any being. Until the day that I die, the psalmist said, I'm going to sing, I'm going to lift up, I'm going to praise the Lord. But now there are many forms of praise tonight. Now praise is very important, and it's a great part of our relationship with God, and the Bible teaches us tonight that God inhabits our praise, and that our praise glorifies and lifts up and magnifies God. But tonight in the Hebrew, you study the Old Testament, you'll find there are seven words that are used and synonymous with praise tonight. And I just want to give you some of those this evening, and you think about these this evening, and I'm not sure that I can correctly pronounce every one of them. The Hebrew language is a very complex language, has no vowels, and is written backwards. And so when they bring it over into English sometime, the words are very hard for me to pronounce, but I'm going to do the best that I can. And the first word is T-O-W-D-A-H, Tawa, Tada. And that means that this is the sacrifice of praise. This means tonight that we praise the Lord in spite of the things that are going on in our world. We praise the Lord even if our world is upside down. It means praising the Lord even when you don't feel like praising the Lord. Probably put it in, when life sucks, you still praise the Lord. In Acts chapter 16, you find two men who were gospel missionaries, gospel preachers of their day, traversing the globe and shedding and spreading the gospel. They were guilty of nothing more and nothing less than preaching and praying in the power of God. But in the city of Philippi, when they healed a demonic girl and cast a demon out of a little demoniac girl this evening, they were taken by the Philippians and they were beaten and placed in stocks in the innermost prison in the Philippi jail. Now I can imagine tonight that would probably be kind of disheartening to most of us. To be whipped, to be publicly humiliated, to be then taken to prison and placed in stocks in the very center of the prison tonight where all the prisoners were probably mocking them and making fun of them. That would probably be disheartening to even the most hardy of us this evening. But the Bible says that these two men did something. At midnight, they what? They prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. And the Lord moved in a very mighty way. I'm not going into the rest of the story. But you see, the thing I want you to understand tonight, they didn't know what God was going to do. Now, they might have had an idea. I'm not telling you that tonight because I'm not inside their mind. But the Scriptures doesn't tell us tonight that they knew that if they did this, God would do a certain thing and God would react in a certain way. It just simply says, in spite of everything that was going on around them, they sang, they prayed and sang praises unto the Lord. Sometimes I don't feel like praising the Lord. I'm going to be as honest with you as I can. Sometimes things going bad and you just want to take a run and go and run your head through a wall. You ever felt that way? Amen. You know? Talked to a guy the other day. He said he wore a post out behind his house beating his head against it. Sometimes I feel that way. I don't always feel like praising the Lord. But you know, tonight, the Bible teaches us that in spite of that, we still should praise the Lord. You see, God is good when? When is God good? All the time. You know, God is good all the time. And even when life is throwing us curveballs, even tonight when it seems like everything is going down the tubes, the Scriptures teach us that we should praise the Lord. In Job 1, well, Job was a great man. Matter of fact, God looked down, and if you throw the Bible, he said, boy, there's nobody like old Job on there. Look at my servant Job. He was talking to Satan. He said, look down there, and you, there's nobody like that guy. You ready to say that about us? Probably couldn't, about me anyway. You know what Satan said? He said, he's just doing that because you've blessed him. He said, you take things away from him, he'll quit praising you. And he said, I'm going to put Job in your hands. He put Job in the devil's hands. He said, you can do anything but kill him. I want to ask you a question tonight. How would you do in the devil's hands? How would you do in the devil's hands? And he took everything Job had but his life, didn't he? His money, his property, his children, and his health. I'd probably be real ugly here and say Job's wife didn't do too well. She told Job, said, "Just why don't you just hush up and die?" That's paraphrasing. In fact, that's what she said. Job said, "Hush, foolish woman." He said, "Naked I came from the womb, and naked I shall return. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You see, he was praising the Lord in spite of everything that happened to him in his life. Now, I doubt if Job felt like praising the Lord, but he was anyway. That's what the Scriptures is teaching us tonight. That's what the psalmist is saying. Now, where was Job at when he said that? He was sitting in a bunch of sackcloth and ashes. He was weeping and mourning tonight. Now, I want to say this to you so you don't misunderstand what I'm saying here. Praising the Lord ain't always a matter tonight we're jumping pews and shouting and glorifying and running up and down. But it's a quiet testimony tonight that no matter what our circumstance in life, God is still worthy of our praise. That's what this is saying tonight. That's the sacrifice of praise. Then there's another word that says yada. Y-A-D-A-H. It simply, tonight, is submission, surrender. It's tonight, literally means lifting up the hands. Several years ago, I worked for a construction company, and there was a young man there that went home down into Jackson for the weekend. It's many years ago. And while he was there, he was in one of those convenience stores, and two men came in to rob it. And he was telling us about it when he came back, and I said, "Well, Randy, what happened?" He said, "There were two men come in, and said one of them had a shotgun, had a barrel that big around. And he said, other than had a pistol with a barrel that long. And he said, when they bust in that store, they said, get your hands up and don't move. And I said, what'd you do, Randy? He said, my mama didn't raise no fool. That's exactly what this means. When you come to the Lord, you just surrender. You're willing to be obedient to Him. We sing a song sometimes called I Surrender All. All to Jesus I freely give. Let me ask you a question tonight. Do we really surrender all? That's what, when you throw your hands up, that's what you're doing tonight. You're just surrendering it all, aren't you? I'm afraid sometimes I'm like a couple over in the book of Acts chapter 5, and I just surrender part of it. You remember Ananias and Sapphira? They come to Peter and said, well, we're bringing it all. But they kept back part. I think sometime I might be a little bit like that. But you see tonight what this is saying is, Lord, it all yours. I'm putting everything in your hands, including my life. I'm surrendering everything. I'm submitting myself unto you, dear Lord. When we do that tonight, you see, that's really praising the Lord this evening. In Psalms 134, verse 2, it said, lift your hands in holiness and bless the Lord, or magnify the Lord. And the next word is the word Barak. I'm not sure that's how you pronounce it, so I told you in the beginning, it's Barouch. I guess that's bar ouch. I don't know. I can read. I just can't pronounce it. It means to bow, to be completely overwhelmed by His majesty. It means to be in complete awesome before Him. We just stand in awe. The psalmist said, I stand in awe before Him. What does it mean to stand in awe? You ever seen anybody do anything you think, boy, that was awesome? Several years ago, I was up in Baldwin, Mississippi, and the Dixie Youth were playing their district, their tournament there, and they had a 11 and 12 year old boys, and Columbus was playing in it, and they had probably one of the best young 12-year-old boys I'd ever seen play baseball. On a Saturday evening, it was hot, about 150 degrees, I think. I'm behind the plate, and he comes to bat. They were playing Corinth, and down the right field fence was 200 feet, and there was a space behind it where they drove a tractor and run a bush hog, and then there was a big ditch, and then a yard and then a house. And he hit the first pitch plumb over the house. Now, they had been throwing the ball, trying to bounce it to the plate. I'm standing here watching the ball. I've never seen a 12-year-old kid hit a ball that hard in all of my life. And here comes a Corinth coach. Mr. Ump, he stepped out of the batter's box. I said, I don't know. He said, you don't know? I said, no, I was watching the ball. I said, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. Well, is awesome. I've never seen a kid hit something like that. Tonight when I walk out and I look up into heaven and I see the stars. Boy, isn't that awesome. You ever thought about what we take for granted? Just look up at the stars. I wonder how much it costs to keep them things burning. But you ever notice how awesome that is tonight? Or you go and you see one of these natural sights. I don't know, I always want to see Niagara Falls. I just love to see Niagara Falls. That'd be a sight. I've seen pictures of Victoria Falls. I've seen all of. And you know, you just have to stop and say, well, what an awesome God we serve. Oh, Lord, my God. When my soul in awesome wonder, consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Haven't we got a great God tonight? That's what praise the Lord is tonight, is we just stand back and say, well, what an awesome God. You know, then I look around and I see, you know, I think about people that I've known. And I see people and I think, well, I went to school with that fella. That's the sorriest low-down scoundrel you ever know. Pow! The Lord come in and transformed his life. Wasn't that awesome tonight? Just look around you tonight. You see the awesome power of God.
Right.
Gideon said, "Poor be thou all thy miracles." Well, I'm a miracle of God. Listen to me tonight. That's what it means to praise the Lord. We just stand back and think, oh, Lord, my God, how great thou art. Right. And there's a word, Shabbat. It means to shout. It means lifting our voice and giving praise for what God has done and what He's going to do. Over in the book of Ezra, chapter 3, it said, all the people shouted with a great shout and when they praised the Lord. It means tonight that we lift our voice and we let people know that God, you know, doesn't mean that we go around and I've seen people and been to Bible conferences when they shout and scream, and I'm not for sure there was a lot in that. Not being ugly, but I'm serious. I'm not. What it means tonight is we're willing to lift our voice and let people know that we belong to the Lord tonight. We are willing to shout and praise the Lord this evening. We're willing to testify to what God has done. You know, there's a lot more to this than just shouting in a church tonight. It means tonight we're willing to allow and let God be magnified in our lives tonight. Are you willing to do that? That's what it means tonight. Next word in I have a little problem with this one. It's Hallel. It means to boast the wonders of the Lord with excitement through dance. And I can't sing and I can't dance. Psalm 149, verse 3, what does it say? Let them praise his name in the dance. Let him sing praises unto him with a timbrel and the harp. 2 Samuel, the Bible tells us that as the ark of the Lord came into the city, City of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and praising and dancing before the Lord. Psalms 30 and verse 11 says, Thou hast turned me from my mourning into dancing, and thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. I thought, now, what does that mean? What does that say to us tonight? Dancing, you know? Somebody said a Baptist didn't write that, did they? Well, when we see something what God has done, sometimes you just can't keep still, can you? You know? You ever get so... You ever watch a little kid? I like to watch little children sometime, and you can say, let's go swimming. I mean, when are they ready to go? The second you got it out of your mouth, right? I mean, you know, you drive up to the pool or the lake, and you're trying to keep them in so they won't go jump in before you get there. And they're just so excited about what's fixing to happen. They're just filled with excitement. They're just filled and thrilled about what's fixing to happen. That's what this means to you and I. Have you ever just been so filled and thrilled with God that you just couldn't keep still? I mean, the Lord just blessed and He just done so much for you. And you get to thinking about it. Every once in a while, you know, there's nothing wrong with just getting so excited about the Lord and what God has done. You just can't be still. You've got to just do this and you know. I remember several years ago, I passed a church up in Alabama, one room. That's all it was, one room. Held about 50 people, maybe. Had a door here and a door here. Had a guy preaching for me one night, and he got so excited, he walked out this door, and we couldn't find him. A little while, he come back in that door, still preaching. Sometimes we just need to get excited and not worry about what anybody thinks about us. That's what David was doing. That's what I'm trying to tell you tonight. That's what praising the Lord is tonight. We tonight need to praise the Lord. The last word that is used is telehela. That's basically a combination of all of them put together. Psalm 144 and verse 9 said, I will sing a new song unto the Lord, O God, upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. Now, what happens when we praise the Lord tonight? What's the benefits? Why should we even do it? I guarantee you, but you praise the Lord, it'll change your outlook on life. It'll change your perspective tonight. It'll do something for the inner man. You know? Well, sometimes we get sick physically. Sometimes we don't feel good, but, you know, I found that if I can find somehow, I'll just begin to say in my heart, praise the Lord. Begin to think about what God has done for me. It changes my outlook. I don't feel near as sorry for myself as I used to. I mean, I feel sorry for myself and any of y'all ever. Well, this, you know, they ain't nobody ever hurt like I hurt. Amen? You ever feel that way? Sure you do. I mean, we all get that way, don't we? But you know, when we begin to praise the Lord, it'll change our outlook on life, and we begin to think about what God has done for us. We begin to realize how good God has been to us tonight and what a wonderful and glorious God He is. It'll change us on the inside, I'll guarantee you tonight. It'll change your perspective and your outlook on life. You won't be near as pessimistic and sour as you used to be. It'll even open the door to thanksgiving. Psalms 100 says what? That we come before His presence with singing and thanksgiving. It's hard to be thankful when you're gloomy. You know? When you're down in the dumps, it's hard to be thankful, isn't it? But when you begin to praise the Lord, you can actually be real in your thanksgiving and saying, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. We'll open that door tonight that we can really express our great thanks unto God. It'll even drive away your enemies. You know, over in the book of Chronicles, it tells the story of the king, and they were coming after him with a great big army. And God said, all right, just gather all the people. When I tell you, start shouting and singing praises unto the Lord. And he did, and the enemy retreated and run off. Who's your enemy? Satan. The world. The flesh. Had a fellow tell me one time, he said, "Boy, preacher," he said, "you know," he said, "I got these folks," he said, "I'm just torn." He said, "They come around want me to do these things." I said, "Let me tell you what you do." He said, "What?" I said, "Every time you see one of them come and start singing, 'Oh, how I love Jesus,' I said, they probably won't come along very often." Amen. Amen. You see, it'll chase away your enemies when you begin to praise the Lord. They don't want to be around people that's praising God. And it'll deepen your faith. Psalms 28, verse 7 says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. Now I'm helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and I will, and my song will I praise Him." It'll strengthen your faith. You know, tonight, as we think about praising the Lord, I want to close with a passage of Scripture found in the book of Joshua. And I want you to listen carefully to what Joshua tells the people. And, you know, sometimes we have to make our own decision. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua's about to die. Great leader of a people of God, bringing them into the land of promise. Basically, he's on his deathbed, and he gathers all the elders together, all the elders of the people. And as he gathers them together, he begins to remind them of what God has done for them. And as he begins to remind them of what God has done for them, I just want to begin reading in verse 13. It said, "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do so you eat." So this is what God has done for you. "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve Him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. For the gods your father served that were on the other side of the flood, or the god of the Amorites in whose hands you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Are you going to praise the Lord or not praise the Lord? That's what Joshua's saying. You see, the choice is us tonight. I can praise Him tonight because of the Son that He sent to be my Savior. I can praise Him tonight for all the blessings that He's blessed me with. I can praise Him tonight simply because He's God. Tonight, let us simply, as the psalmist said, while we live, praise the Lord. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Bruce, you and Barbara, come. Heavenly Father, thank You for this time. We ask to take this very simple message, use it for the honor and glory of Him who loved us and gave Himself for us. In His name we pray. Amen.